So Glenys, what was it like being in a women's group compared to being in a group of mixed genders? And why did you join a women's group?
That's an interesting question, and it's I found that because of this blossoming of all this, different, of opening up of awareness of things, I began to realize that in a men's group, men always presumed that they knew better or that they should have the leading role. And in the women's group, we always sort of discussed things. So it was much more of a communal way of working and of resolving problems or whatever. And as well, at that time, I started to go to a Quaker meeting. And there they always resolve things by consensus rather than voting. It's men are not, not one person who makes the decision. You don't have a vote on things. You work through problems and, it's a consensus decision. And we found that in the women's group, that was much more, I found in our women's group, that was so. So now we get to the 80s when Greenham was really, the major thing that was happening. And so I was in my women's group. I'd been going to Greenham. I joined, had attended, I was an attender at a Quaker meeting. So all those things made me sort of think in a much more communal way. And certainly that's the way decisions were made at Greenham. The reporters would come and say, "Well, who's your leader? Who can we talk to?" And half a dozen women would say, "I am, I am, I am, I am, I am." It's always, we don't have any leaders here. We talk things through, and that was always very difficult for them. So there were, I suppose, I came through to WILF because of all the other organisations, women's organisations that there were about. But it was WILF, there was a woman who I met who was a Quaker, and there were Quakers at Greenham too. It was at Blue Gate, that was a Quaker group, when they would have Quaker meetings there on every Sunday. So I went to one of their seminars, or not sure they were calling it a seminar, and found that very interesting, and slowly became more involved with them, and then discovered that there was a WILF group here in Orpington that I didn't know about, and started to attend that, and found that very interesting. Went to a few. Well, I went to one part of in the year 2000 to an international WILF executive seminar and meeting that anybody could attend, any WILF women could attend. And that again was another opening up and blossoming of understanding and awareness. In that, although working in a sort of cooperative way as at grassroots level, I like that idea of women at grassroots level working together for a better world, you realize that you couldn't just do that ad hoc. There had to be a process of laws and rules that you had to abide by. And then realizing that the United Nations had this separate charter and things for you know, rights of people, but that there was also, Wilf had another section that was women's rights as well. So, you know, I could see there was a point in both, that there was, you had to have a grassroots awareness of fairness. But in order for that to become reality in the world in general, and even in a local authority or local, or, you know, higher up the scales, you had to have laws and rules that were not just laws and rules, but you had to have written down rights that people should abide by.
So you mentioned that you were a member of Wilf's since the 80s. How did you decide to become membership secretary?
Oh, I became membership secretary because the woman who was doing it was also doing, she was secretary as well. Anyway, the job was split and nobody else would do it. So I said, oh, I'll do the membership secretary. But it's the way women work a little bit. If somebody can't do this, then, oh, somebody else will do it. So that's how I became membership secretary. And I think in a way that's the way, you know, women are much more able to work that way.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it, yes. I loved being membership secretary, because you were in touch with all these women from around the country. And, you know, when you did meet them, it was like meeting old friends. So I liked that a great deal. And I think I was probably good at it. Mainly because technology was easier. You know, it was at that time when, you know, we were able to use computers and telephoning was so much easier. All that was happening at the time. So that was a good, it was a good time to be involved in Wilf. But going back to what I feel about Wilf is, we can't just impose laws and rules and, you know, laying down the law of how people should or shouldn't behave, because that can very easily drift into bullying or manipulating. You have to start with yourself, really, of the way you behave towards other people and the way you behave to your children. If you are fair and behave non-violently towards your children or to other people that you work with or people that you are in touch with all of the time, that becomes a habit and a way of resolving sometimes conflicts which are bound to arise. But as I said, the Quaker way of consensus to me seemed much more sensible than anything else. So what with Quakerism and Wilf and, you know, the way Wilf was working, sort of joined up together in a way, because I don't believe we can change the world only at grassroots level, but that's where it begins, that's how it starts, of treating people fairly and with respect at basic level, which we hope will filter through to the way you behave to people in community. You can't have violence within the home. If you have violence, you know, that if you have violence in the home, then that goes into the community in a natural way to behave. If you have violence in schools, that's a natural way to behave. And it's a learned way. And I hope that within Wilf, this is wishful thinking maybe, but that we should respect each other, and that respect and awareness of other people's feelings should spread throughout the way we work, and hopefully will work were spread throughout the community and on up to workplaces and government, and maybe that's all sort of pie in the sky. But I really do believe that if we don't have some sort of sense of fairness and cohesion at grassroots level, it'll never work, however many laws and rules you pass. It isn't necessarily to do with laws and rules, but it's accepting human rights and working towards the rights of the individual as well as groups. Full stop.
Do you feel that this is reflected in this feelings, that you, the feelings that you have about Wilf are reflected in your dealings with other Wilf members internationally? So you mentioned the international conference that you had in 2005. Do you feel that at the conference, when you met the delegates from around the world, this was the general theme?
It might have been the general theme, but it doesn't always work in practice. There's always things that niggle people. So that there, you know, there will be ups and downs of the way people behave towards each other. And I think it's something that not only Wilf, but many organisations have to learn. But Wilf, particularly, I think, should work towards that goal of working peaceably together. It's difficult because you have people in international Wilf coming from so many different backgrounds and so many different expectations of, like, I do feel that, you know, some of the countries, what we call the more northern countries, the more the northwestern countries, think that they're right and do not understand the poverty and the way perhaps some of the African groups and the Asian groups have to work on very different ways of, and South American groups, you know, they work in a very different way, and we have no right to criticize. This is quite difficult.
What?